There's a peace that comes with knowing you're not the same person you once were. And you aren't the same person. It'd be one thing to say, well, yeah, I am the same, but I'm forgiven. I'm still the same, but no, you're not the same person. Because of Jesus. When you read about what the scriptures say about what you were, there's a humble and a thanksgiving spirit that will accompany you when you know that those things are not what you are. But it's when we know why we're not those things anymore. None of us should ever look at our deliverance as small. Nor should we ever conclude that Jesus didn't have to pay much to save us. When we consider the death of Christ, let us understand that such a consideration greatly impacts how you look at what you were. Now I'd like to use the Apostle Paul as an example of this in this consideration of Jesus. How the consideration of Jesus reminded him that his deliverance was a great deliverance. And that's the way we reason too. Jesus has given us a great deliverance by what he has accomplished. Now I say this carefully, but you'll get what I'm saying. If you just hear me out, that this I'm applying this to myself. We have provided some defense for Saul. That's what he was in the past. He was Saul. Have a defense for Saul saying he was not immoral in a general way, like not a fornicator, not an idol worshiper, not a thief. And that is 100% true. We should not charge any man with something they didn't do. We shouldn't take it too far. But I know in the past, I feel I have taken that claim too far. We can make points like this. I know for myself, I can take that to an extent and people will say, well, he wasn't so bad. But let's be clear, Paul made no such claim about himself. He did not assess himself in such a way. In his own words, he was blameless among men under the law, but not in the eyes of God. Sin revived, I died. God saw that. Paul knew that. And it was covetousness is that he was talking about. Those under law would say, yes, he was blameless. They would. If you're serving under a system of law, you had nothing on Saul. However, to those who were serving Jesus, he was a persecutor who breathed out threatening and slaughter against them. My point is, we should talk about Saul of Tarsus the same way Paul did. And reason concerning our own past, that Jesus has shown us great mercy, loved us with a great love, paid a great price, given us a great deliverance. Because what he delivered us from was no small thing. And he has changed us all in a very great and evident way. Now consider the words of Paul. I'll be brief on these. What did Paul think of his sin? Let's just see how sensitive this man is. He says, for I am the least of the apostles. Oh, for a sensitivity like that. I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You see a sense of grief in that, right? He didn't think of this as small. How you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. He also says, I thank God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me. I like that. Who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. How different was Saul from Paul? Let's see. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's quite a change. He also says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. I gather you all accept it. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, he says, of whom I am chief. And what did the believers think of Saul of Tarsus? Not Paul. What did they think of Saul? And they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past. Well, here's Paul. Now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. Even a hymn writer wrote concerning Jesus. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Why would he say something like that about himself? A worm? Sounds kind of harsh. But those are the words of a man who knows what he was. Yes, knows what he was, and he understands the great cost paid by Christ and the great deliverance that resulted from it. Amen. If Jesus died for you, then you were indeed in a lowly state in need of much help. Amen. Yeah. If Jesus died for you, he's done more for you than any other man ever will. But what do the scriptures say? If one died for all were dead. You were dead. Jesus died for us because we needed a Savior.
Amen. Yes, amen.
We still need Jesus. Amen. What are you by yourself? You're nothing without Jesus. Without me, you can't do anything. That's what you have to see. That's what Paul said of himself, assessing himself apart from Christ. I am carnal, sold under sin. That's what I am without Jesus, but that's not what I am with him.
Amen.
We are what we are because of Jesus. Jesus brought us out of a low pit, and no one else could get you out of that pit.
Amen.
Only Jesus could. How could anyone look at what Jesus did for them and think, I wasn't so bad? He died for you, didn't he?
Amen.
Must have been pretty bad. If Jesus died for you, it was because you were damned. That's why. And you had no choice but to suffer the consequences because you couldn't pay the price. You couldn't escape it. It was your inevitable end. Because you were an offense to God and you lived for yourself. Just call it what it is. You lived for yourself. But Jesus has saved us. That's the gospel message. Jesus has saved men. We're not waiting for him to save. He has saved us. We're right standing with God today. He leaves no one the same. Paul never did persecute another Christian. He didn't covet. You didn't hear him having that issue anymore. That was his under the law. Paul, the apostle, wasn't charged with covetousness anymore. He didn't confess that anymore. You know, I still have problem with that, right? I still have problem with that. He didn't say that. That's not Paul. He didn't do anything else ignorantly or in unbelief. That part was gone. He didn't waste any more churches. He received mercy and he could say now, I am what I am by the grace of God. You can too.
Amen. Amen.
As you consider the cross of Christ, give thanks for his love. Give thanks for his mercy. Give thanks for his obedience to the Father. Give thanks for him overcoming the world. All that played a part in you being delivered. Because of Jesus, you're changed. And let's not be unclear. It's a big change. Because of Jesus, you're a walking contradiction of your former self. Thank Jesus. Thank Jesus for that tonight. As you come up with this table, come with that humble spirit. As that man. Remember, there's the Pharisee who says, thank God I'm not like the other men. And like we have Paul's example, that's not what he did. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Know what you were. See how great of a deliverance it was. Thank God you're not what you were before. Don't allow any man to lessen your perception of what you were so that you won't forget how that great price Jesus paid, how great a deliverance it was, the greatness of the mercy, the greatness of the love, the greatness of the work, the greatness of the overcoming, how much he overcame.
Amen.
Let us not have lesser views of what we've been delivered from. Let's take time to just really focus on the magnitude of what Jesus did, the magnitude of what that bloodshed has done for us. Thank God that grace is greater than all your sin.
Amen.
Greater than the sin of the whole world. Give thanks with me tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us a faithful high priest. Thank you for giving us a man that could overcome this world and give us forgiveness of sins. We're thankful, Lord, that we all stand before you now, not what we were. And we owe your Son that gratitude forever. Pray, Lord, you particularly at this time, help us take all of our focus off of ourself. And that Jesus be the only thing we think. This pray in your Son's name. Amen.